Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We are going to have a great time today. We are broadcasting live from Dini's Seafood, 1713 Lake Avenue in Bucktown, Louisiana, right here. And we have already started eating oysters. Bayside, Little Moon, Brightside. We'll be able to talk to those farmers later. This is all about the oyster industry. This is about off-bottom oysters and the brand, the overall brand called Grand Isle Jewels. We are going to be visiting with a number of folks to talk about this. Joe Riccobono from Sala Restaurant and also a JETCO commissioner will join us in the noon hour, as well as James Karst, Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have Troy Gilbert from the Chef's Brigade and Weldon Danos, the Grand Isle Port Commissioner. And we at 10:30, we're going to have the farmers themselves, Ryan Anderson with Little Moon, Nathan Herring with Brightside, and Kirk Curall with Bayside Oyster Company. I've tried all three, all incredibly delicious. And we start off with the president and CEO of JETCO, who have gone all in on this brand, Grand Isle Jewels, and creating some opportunities for off-bottom oystering in Jefferson Parish. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. I knew nothing would get you out of the studio faster than the opportunity to eat some of these oysters. And for your listening audience, when I got here about 15 minutes ago, you were already belly up to the bar. I saw you.
Hey, look, they had to drag me over here to this table. I was going to stay over on that side of the room.
No, Newell, this is so exciting for us. All the things we get to work on throughout Jefferson Parish, working with businesses in a number of ways, but to be able to support an entire industry, and an industry that's so important to our culture, our seafood industry, this has been so much fun for our team to work on, to support all of these farmers and bring them to a wider audience. And that's the whole purpose of this umbrella brand, is to help these guys that are working with restaurants here and chefs here. We're now getting them into distribution, getting them a wider audience, and we want people to really start asking for Grand Isle Jewels by name.
Absolutely. It's and we're going to learn more about it and why it's so important, you know, of this aquaculture phenomenon that's going on in so many different fronts. Off-bottom oystering is new to the Gulf of Mexico. It's been around in other areas of the world. It's something really great for us, though, because we have challenges, right?
We do. And, we say that people don't realize 45% of the oysters consumed in North America are coming from Louisiana waters. Mm-hmm. But Grand Isle, which was really ground zero for oyster production in the past, the traditional oyster farming, has really dwindled. And that's from hurricanes and other issues. So this is a really resilient way for us to continue this farming, to bring even a better, a more premium product to the markets. And that's what the off-bottom oysters are. It's a using some of that ingenuity that we have down here in South Louisiana and bringing this great product.
Let's look at the macro picture of seafood industry in Louisiana. Let's talk about the importance of that. Obviously, a lot of people don't realize Jefferson Parish is about 64, 65 miles long. It runs from Lake Pontchartrain all the way to the shores of Grand Isle. A lot of marsh in between, a lot of aquaculture there.
We always talk in the New Orleans region about our food culture, and people typically associate that with the end product, what they're getting at the table. But what we have in Jefferson is so much of the raw product that we harvest in our waterways, our oysters, our shrimp, our crabs. That all goes into what we export all over the world, the flavors of this region.
Yeah, and the economic impact, not only for Jefferson Parish, but for a state as a whole throughout the entire Gulf South is really, really important. You and other economic development folks talk about creating diversity in our economy, but it's not only about creating it, it's about maintaining the diversity that we have, right?
It's retaining our industries, of which our food cluster is such an important part of our economy in this state. It's exportable. You don't want to export food from Cleveland or import it into your market. But everyone around the world wants the flavors of this region. And that's millions in economic impact. It's our food manufacturers. It's companies like Zatarain's and Magic Seasonings, that Crystal Hot Sauce and Tabasco. You can go anywhere all over the world and find those brands. They're headquartered, many of them, right here in Jefferson Parish. And
saw some of those brands in Croatia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they seem to be pretty damn popular there, too.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
You guys, tell us about how this came about for you and JETCO in particular, saying, hey, we want to take this on.
Right. So we work with the state of Louisiana, had some funding available, really to identify ways in which we can support and deliver some resilience to some of our industries, especially the seafood industry. And we met with a number of stakeholders, and ultimately we determined that this was a great opportunity for us, because the oyster farming had dwindled, because this was a new resilient tactic in order to grow and farm oysters. We just needed to support many of these independent farmers who were just striking out on their own. They had a social media presence. They were working with independent chefs to try and get their oysters carried in a restaurant, maybe doing a pop-up here or there. We felt like we could bring that brand to them, help them with that umbrella brand, and that's how this whole thing just mushroomed from there. And we can't believe how much excitement has been built up around the brand. We're now celebrating the fact that we have a local distributor, Inland is now distributing. They've distributed over 10,000 of these Grand Isle jewels throughout the Gulf South. We're bringing them to a wider audience. And that's led to even more investment in infrastructure on the island. In Grand Isle, we now have the processing plant that's going to be going in there. They're increasing the size of the farm, so we're going to be able to allow more farmers as the demand picks up for these products. Expansion of some of the existing farmers and some new farmers will have the opportunity to go there.
When was the first time that you were exposed to off-bottom oysters?
It was in Croatia. Actually,
yeah.
It was, but it was not long after I'd returned from Croatia that we started talking about this brand. And the first time that I went down to Grand Isle and had some of these oysters right out of the water, and you've never tasted an oyster until you've had it right out of the water. It's just an unbelievable experience. The flavor profile on these oysters, the size. It's so desirable.
No, absolutely. I had that off-bottom oyster in Croatia as well. They were phenomenal. But I want to say my first exposure was several years ago, maybe two or three years ago, here in New Orleans at a restaurant called the Mosquito Club.
Yep.
And I'd never heard of them. And so we dined there that night, and it seems the chef there is phenomenal. I forgot her name.
Melissa.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
yes,
Melissa.
And they everything that they serve from a seafood perspective is what we would refer to, I guess, is to kind of select, right? And I'd never been exposed to that. And, man, what a meal. I mean, it was like we had 10 of us there that night, and it was like we walked out, and it's like, oh, my God, that's the best damn oysters I ever had in my life.
Yep, and she has a new restaurant in Algiers now, and they're carrying Grand Isle Jewels. So we're excited to just keep raising that brand.
Yeah. Now, and it's funny, more and more people, I think, are getting exposed to it, and this is really going to ultimately end up taken off. Let's talk about tonight. Tonight's Oyster Night. You have collaborated with the Chef's Brigade. We'll visit with them a little bit later. Number of participating restaurants that, as we break this out, and hopefully a lot of folks take advantage of it and expose themselves to the Grand Isle Jewels.
Yeah, it's a natural synergy with the Chef's Brigade. They've been a great partner to us and in helping get that exposure out. As everybody gets out to their restaurants tonight to celebrate Oyster Night, we thought this was a great way to start really introducing those Grand Isle Jewels, doing this shuck and tell, having some leaders come and taste them, because we really need more advocates out there, more people talking about this brand and requesting it.
So I figured tonight I'll just ride your coattails wherever you go. That's where
anytime.
That's where I'm going.
My passenger seat's empty.
Because I started eating oysters. I think I was about seven, maybe six, and there was a bar at the corner of Williams Boulevard and Jefferson Highway, next to an old theater there, in what is now called Rivertown, and it had an oyster bar there, and my dad was a big raw oyster eater, and we would go on a Friday night, and it was something that we did all the time. That was when the oysters were a nickel.
Well, they say you can't go home again. It's funny being here. My first official job. My parents didn't subscribe to child labor laws, but my first real job was bussing tables right here at Deanie's Seafood.
Deanie's Seafood.
So
there you go, bringing it back home.
So but I was a late adopter to oysters. I couldn't get that texture at first when I was a kid, but man, the first time I had it and enjoyed oysters, I haven't stopped since.
At 9 years old, I could eat six dozen oysters, raw oysters, and just devour them.
Well,
and totally enjoy it.
I saw the way you were here when I got here. I saw you. You're probably two or three dozen in.
No, I'm a lot more polite than that. I see the work of opening. I just wanted to taste them before we came on, so I could say what it was like, and they're really good. And we're going to talk. You know, we're going to get a chance to talk to the folks from Bayside, Little Moon, and Brightside, three of the farmers here, and that's the name of their product. And a unique thing about it is, and for people to know on the front end, because they're growing them, they can actually kind of shape them, work at it. It's like clipping a hedge or something, where they can design the shape, let it grow longer. It grows a lot faster than an on bottom oyster, and it's absolutely incredible how consistent from oyster to oyster to oyster when you look at it. It is.
I think that's what you'll get from these farmers when you interview them, is each one of them is going for a different profile, both flavor and size.
Yeah.
Some of them wanted a little larger. Some of them wanted a little smaller. Some of it wanted saltier. Each one of them has a distinct and unique taste, and that's the exciting thing about the Jewels brand, is we're just bringing this umbrella branding to them, but every one of them has their own identity and their own unique flavor.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, the real taste for me is not until I can have that, the oyster, with a beer.
That's right.
So when I'm able to put those two together, it'll be, as they say in the ninth, mo better.
Mo better.
We are visiting with Jerry Bologna, Judco President and CEO. We're talking about Grand Isle Jewels, a brand of oysters. And when we come back, we will sit down with the oyster farmers themselves. Guys, we'll sit down with Ryan Anderson from Little Moon, Nathan Herring from Brightside Oysters, Kirk Curl from Bayside Oyster Company. Stay with.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us, we'll be right back. That's right, folks. We are broadcasting live from Dini's Seafood at 1713 Lake Avenue in Bucktown, Louisiana. Come on out and tell us hello and partake of some of the incredible oysters out here. We've got other items as well, and got a whole bunch of folks you can meet, including these guys, the oyster farmers themselves, Nathan Herring from Brightside Oysters and Kirk Ural from Bayside Oyster Company. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Sheriff.
Thank you.
So I've been really excited about doing this show. I love when that innovative things change and come here. Why don't we start, Kirk, with you and tell us about how this started and how this is actually a little community, a small community of oyster farms.
Yeah, we started about 5 years ago when the oyster park started, and I actually got into it as a hobby. Started with 2,000 oysters as an oyster gardener. Loved it. About 1,200 survived off of the 2,000, and it was just fascinating to watch them grow from 6 millimeters to 3 inches in 6 to 8 months. The guys that are on the farm, we have 7 farmers right now on the oyster park farming 8 acres, and we have a gentleman's co-op. We all help each other out, and it's just fascinating to watch these things grow.
Yeah. And Nathan, for you, how did you get involved?
Yeah, I moved to New Orleans, and there was a hurricane, and I just reached out to one of the farmers in Grand Isle that had already been doing it for a few years and asked if he needed any help. I went down, helped him for a few days, and then I just kept making up excuses to go back down, and he kept having me. And so eventually he kind of let me use a part of his farm to get started, and I would just help him when I could. And then when these new leases came available, you know, about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I finally got my own, and it's kind of been a real slow, gradual growth. You know, I was working other jobs, and then a couple years ago we got some grants from the state, and finally, you know, made the jump and went full time. And it's been, you know, a lot of growth since then, which has been great. And, you know, those grants really helped us out a lot. And, you know, I don't know if I'd be doing this full time if it weren't for that. So, yeah, that's kind of the short of it.
Well, this is obviously a great opportunity. But for the benefit of the listening audience, let's talk about a couple of things. It sounds easier off bottom, but not necessarily so, right?
It's pretty labor intensive. We have to be out there every week handling the oysters. We have to flip the cages and shake them, and that helps shape the oyster. It basically manicures the beak or the edge of the oyster, so when it pushes or grows to the next layer, we have that nice smooth cup on the bottom with the flat door. So it's you have to be out there every week, whereas traditional oystermen typically will plant seed. A couple of months later, they may go and do a test drag and see what the oysters look like and just let it set for a couple of years or so many months to go back and harvest. So our oysters grow a lot faster. And so just to give you an idea, we bought seed in June. We've already sorted them once by hand, and we're going to tumble again in another 4 weeks. And that's going to be our last sorting. And then from there, at 6 months, we're going to start handling them, sorting them up by hand to get our market ready, oysters out.
So everyone has kind of a unique end product that they're looking for. And in your case, Kirk, at Bayside, you're looking for what?
I'm looking for a 3 to 4 inch oyster because I retail more of my oysters than wholesale. I do have a couple of restaurants that I sell to every once in a while, but the local customer wants that historically medium to large type oyster.
So that's the guy shucking new oysters at home, watching the Saints game, drinking a beer.
Exactly. I'm on the side of the road peddling oysters.
And Nathan, for you, what is it that you're looking for as an end product?
Sure, yeah. So I sell mostly to restaurants here in New Orleans, and I'm trying to go for 2.5 to 3.5 inch oyster. Just a little smaller, looks nice on the plate. And for people that haven't, you know, grown up with the oysters like Kirk sells, these ones are kind of a good introduction to eating oysters. They're not, you know, a huge mouthful whenever you, you know, take your first oyster in. But, yeah, it's just I'm looking for something that looks really nice on a plate. It holds the oyster in the shell, holds the liquor, and, yeah.
Those that Nathan sells, those are less intimidating to eat for most people, and we say that those have training wheels on them. So you can introduce a lot of newbies to those small oysters.
And why do you say that? I mean, I guess when people see this big...
Well, think about it. If you have an oyster that's about 2 to 3 inches long, you're more apt to try it because it doesn't look like someone's tongue sitting in a shell. You know, there's not 3 to the pool boy size. So we say those have training wheels, and then we had coined the phrase that these were boutique oysters, and that was one of our other farmers that came up with that. And, you know, Nathan's right, and their market is phenomenal. It's just amazing to see those small oysters on the plate that people are going to buy, and they love them.
So I'm going to ask you about Little Moon because y'all are all together, and, sure. And Nathan, Ryan wasn't able to join us here this morning. What is it that he's typically looking for? Because we tasted yeah. those this morning.
Yeah, it's a similar size to what I'm going for. You know, we both sell in the restaurants here in New Orleans. We use similar gear. So, yeah, it's very similar to what I'm growing. And, you know, some of the differences between all the oysters are just who's handling them, how much they're out there doing it. So that's kind of where we get the variation there. So it very similar cages, you know, the same seed, but different people, their schedules, you know, it's going to affect the oysters a little bit.
Right. So. And the duration, right, of when you decide to harvest as right. it relates to size.
Yeah. I mean, it's really up to the grower, but it's also, you know, what you have available. You know, sales might be down, so you might end up with some bigger oysters to sell.
Right.
So you got to be a little bit flexible. It's not like
a set. In theory, what is the fastest period of time where you could harvest an oyster for consumption?
If the conditions are right, like this year, we got seed early in June and July, early July. We'll have oysters ready for Christmas. We have good salinity. The weather's been right. Hopefully no hurricanes come around.
Not a lot of rain?
Not too much rain. The rain doesn't affect our salinity much. Now, the river this year, unfortunately, we had a high river for several months. For me, my gauge is anything above 12 feet at the Carrollton gauge. It drops our salinity way down, and our triploid oysters, which is specifically what I grow, is a crossbred oyster. It's sterile. It doesn't reproduce. It doesn't get milky. The mortality is a lot higher. So just for instance, we had 100,000 seed. Last year in September, we got our seed. We lost 70,000 of those 100,000 because of the high
wow.
river. Yeah, so the freshwater influence has a lot to do with the triploid oyster. Now, the diploids, which some of the other farmers grow, is a little bit more resilient. It's nature's oyster. It's got two sets of chromosomes. It handles lower salinity. So that's just the gamble we have to deal with. So this year, we're hoping for no hurricanes and no high river in the spring, and I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And what really drives, what conditions really drive kind of the texture of the oyster?
I think what does that is the oysters are in the cages, so they're bouncing around in the waves a little bit. So they're theoretically kind of opening and closing. So that's giving them a little bit of a workout. You know, we also take the oysters out of the water. We sort them by size. So when we do that, you know, again, we're taking them out of the water. The oysters have to close up. So they kind of get a little bit more of a workout because they're opening and closing more than your on-bottom oysters that are going to be covered in water all the time.
So you're an oyster farmer and a health club operator at the same time.
Yeah. Very specific health club operator, for sure. Yeah.
So in that six-month period of time, you end up handling these oysters quite a bit then.
Yeah, several times. For us, it's like four times that they're actually coming out of the cage, getting sorted, and put back in, sorted by size.
So when you say select, it really is that. I mean, you know, down to the size and everything else. Yeah.
It is that. What I use is a classroom analogy. You know, I have my seniors, my juniors, my sophomore, my elementary school students, and then I got my A students, my B students, and my C's. So the oysters grow at different rates, and it's just survival of the fittest. So once we do our tumble, we're going to have three sizes of oysters generally to set out in the cages. So we know that those large oysters that came out of the tumbler are going to be the first set we sort. And then after 2 or 3 months, we get through those, we get to the next size, which is going to be catching up to that first size. So we're graduating oysters daily, basically, or weekly. So
so do you provide any counseling to the D's and the F's?
Yeah, we do. We
got some real class clowns in there.
Yeah, they like a lot of yacht rock. We play some classic rock for them every once in a while. There's always music out on the farm, and it's nice when the other four or five farmers are out there so we can yell at each other and kid around, and it's a good environment for us.
Where do you see the industry going? You know, education is key. I talked about how I got exposed to it at the Mosquito Club. I never heard of it, you know, and it really piqued my curiosity because I've been eating oysters all my life. Yeah. Knew about, you know, how they did it in Croatia on a rope and had seen that and mussels on a rope as well as kind of an off-bottom thing. I didn't realize, though, I was just in Croatia this year, I didn't realize just how small the industry truly is there. Their supply cannot meet the demand by any stretch of the imagination, because there's only a couple of areas along that coast that actually they're able to do that because of the hydrology that exists there. Do we have that same limitation? I mean, I know that on the East Coast and the West Coast, off-bottom has been around for a while.
Yeah.
There are challenges here in the Gulf. What are
there? Sure. So I think the places where off-bottom oysters have really taken off are those places where they historically had a really robust oyster population, and then that oyster population started declining. So they had to find a way to, you know, keep that industry going. And in Louisiana, you know, we still have a really robust, wild, you know, traditional oyster population. So I think that's really why it hasn't. The off-bottom is still not a huge part of our industry here. You know, most of it is still the dredged traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's going to, for it to shift to primarily our kind of oysters, it would take like a pretty big decline in the wild populations. You know, I do think we have challenges here, you know, the river getting up a lot. And I think as the off-bottom industry kind of progresses, we're going to have to find ways to deal with that. There's ways to do it. And, you know, it may be that farms have to get big enough that they have oysters in different locations, and maybe, you know, one population survives and one doesn't. But, yeah, I think I think part of it is just going to be scale. And, you know, once we get to a certain scale, then hopefully we'll be able to survive some of those things that make it tough for us.
Because one of the things along our coast, we have a bunch of freshwater tributaries coming into the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Right.
Whether it's the Atchafalaya or, you know, it's out of Vermilion Bay, obviously the Mississippi River.
Yeah, that definitely influences it. And, you know, we stay in communication with other off-bottom oyster farmers. We have some out in Leeville, further out to the west, mm-hmm. and we communicate our salinities when the river gets up, when it gets down, and see what their ranges are. So there are, like Nathan was saying, other opportunities for us to be able to move our oysters or have other locations during a high river stage that we can protect those oysters. But I've always joked around that, you know, we like the electric cars of the oyster industry. You know, there's a place for us. I don't see us taking over the oyster industry anytime soon. Because I think we're less than 1% or 1.4% of the production that's actually going out there.
Right. But there is an incredible uniqueness to the oyster. It is different.
Yeah.
You know, the taste, the texture. I mean, I noticed it right away. Yeah. It's different. And the cleanliness of the liquid inside the oyster as well.
They're literally an inch or two under the water. And, you know, we've joked around with some of the traditional oystermen. I said, you know, we'll do the Pepsi challenge with you anytime. it's amazing how the taste differentiation is there because, you know, theirs are down in the mud or at the bottom, not necessarily in the mud, but ours are just right at the surface, and it's in a buffet where all the phytoplankton, dissolved oxygen, all the good food is up there. It's, I mean, it's like Golden Corral all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. Your oyster is not an oyster that I would typically take and go stick in a fryer, right? I mean, it's probably...
You can afford it. Yeah, sure.
But this is something... So, I mean, the point I'm making is there's a niche here, right?
Yeah. It's definitely going to be more for a raw bar situation. Yeah, the price point's going to be a little bit higher. Oyster's going to be smaller. So, yeah, it doesn't make economic sense to put it on a po' boy or you know, fry them up. Mm-hmm. They are still great grilled, you know.
Yeah,
they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, if they're good raw, they're going to be good in any other fashion, right?
But, yeah, it's definitely going to be more of a raw product. You know, I think that's part of the, you know, Kirk was talking about it's like 1-1.5% of the total volume of oysters. And that's partly why is because we're not, you know, getting into all of those cracks and crevices where other oysters are used.
Yeah. And we also compare them to like steak. So you have filet mignon, you have sirloin. You know, you might make a sirloin spaghetti, but you're not going to make a filet mignon spaghetti with that meat.
Right.
So you're paying for a premium product. You're getting a better product. And it's just one of those things.
Well, and the thing, too, from the restaurant operator that's serving this in a different fashion, what I found in just the few minutes I was talking with y'all and looking at your oysters, the consistency in the size, the look, you know.
It's all hand-selected.
Yeah, it's all hand-selected.
It's all hand-selected and with a lot more care or a little more care than what a dredge oyster.
So when you get a dozen, you're going to get a dozen that tastes exactly the same.
Oh,
and they're going to look the same and be consistent throughout.
If we're doing our jobs right,
Yeah. I mean, they're literally coming out the same cage.
But that's right.
Yeah.
If you're doing your job, right? Like any other farmer, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great.
Anytime.
Learning more
about
this industry. Best of luck to you, and can't wait to get back over there.
You need to come out to the farm, jump in the water with us.
I'll do it.
Bring your waders because the water's getting cold already.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I would
love that experience.
You'll have them fresh out the water like Joe was talking about.
I'm going to grab Jerry and make him come with me.
Come on. We got booties for him, too.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. That was Nathan Herring with Brightside Oysters and Kurt Curell with Bayside Oysters. And we also have Little Moon Oysters here as well. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. That's right. We're at Dini Seafood, 1713 Lake Avenue in Bucktown, Louisiana. No better place to come and eat some oysters than right here. I wanted to bring you back on. Jerry Bologna's back with me. You know, we're doing a lot of things in the hotel and the tourism industry relative to whether we're trying to get Michelin star rated restaurants. And obviously, when you do things of that, it's great to have local products. And this really does fill a niche in that regard, right?
Yeah. New Orleans, this region, Southeast Louisiana, is known for our restaurants. We know that those Michelin raters are out there in the community. There are states that are now getting rated. And we want to keep up in our game. We want to continue to attract large events, large sporting events. Well, the food is part of that because that's why people do come to this area.
Yeah, and without the branding opportunity that's been created, it's very difficult to do so.
Yeah, it all goes hand in hand. It's creating that ecosystem. It's important. The branding goes a long way. We talk about people go into a restaurant, they request a filet or there's some sort of something that evokes something for them. And we think Grand Isle Jewels is going to be that to help just continue to evolve our hospitality.
You went out there and I think you were in the water, right?
I was on the boat. I didn't get in the water, but I'll go. I'll put the waders on and
okay,
go with
well,
you.
You and I are going. So, because I want to have that experience and see how that works. Because it really is like farming in the water.
It is absolutely like farming. The only difference is those guys are in the water, except that they're not on land. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I got a lot of texts. Folks are asking, what are you doing in the event of a storm? And I was just asking Nathan, and he says, they anchor their cages as good as possible, and they're able to get out there as soon as the storm passes to remediate whatever tumbling or otherwise that has gone on with the cage. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a challenge like everything else.
Well, and the nice part of that is being in the cages, they're not subject to the scouring of the water bottoms.
Yeah.
And losing the product.
Right.
So they are able to recover much faster.
Some folks were asking, I don't know if they can do this, if you can infuse salt. I don't think so, but
I don't think you want to get into that part of the process, but I think the Gulf waters do enough.
You can infuse the salt with the salt shaker when you
yep.
open
the oyster, yep.
if that's what you so desire. But these oysters were, did you have any of this one? These oysters are perfect, man.
Not yet. You didn't leave any. I'm waiting for
wait,
them
wait,
to
wait,
shuck
wait,
some
wait,
more.
Wait. I only had a couple of each. So, but I will be back. All right, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are at 1713 Lake Avenue, Dini Seafood in Bucktown. Come on out and say hello and see what we're talking about and taste what we're talking about. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So come on by, tell us hello, partake of some of these oysters. The room is actually filling up. We got a bunch of food here. Got all kinds of shrimp and all kinds of other things as well right here at Dini Seafood. come by, say hello, meet the oyster farmers as well. They would love to engage you and tell you about their product and what makes them unique, and you get to taste them as well. And so, as I said, the room is filling up, and we're excited about this. And again, if you would go to a couple of websites, and you can see all the participating restaurants for Oyster Night, which is tonight. And I am trying to find my list here, and I will tell you what those websites are when we come back, because I cannot find my my list all of a sudden. I got a lot of papers here. It's crazy. But anyway, you can check it out, chefsbrigade.org.
Or oysternight.org.
Or oysternight.org. Or grandislejewels.com. You'll see all the participating restaurants. We'll be right back with Troy Gilbert with the Chef's Brigade.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.